We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Into the Phoenix Sports Podcast. It's been a day. There's no music. I don't know what's happening. If you know the music, just sing along in your head. The Phoenix Sports Podcast, technical difficulties and all, is presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. I'm your host with the most, hostess with the mostest. One of them, there's two of us, Michaela Perkins, that's Kirsten.
Sure. I'm the hostess with the mostest, and she is sitting there.
And she sucks.
And she unplugs the computer minutes before the show starts.
Wow.
Don't blame this on me.
Yes, for the record, I know there were rumors, there were sources flying around in the chat. I can confirm Kirsten is not the reason to blame Restream and technology that was out of our hands.
Yeah, we're just gonna blame technology and the internet. It's just one of those days, Kirsten. It just feels like a weird day.
Are we sure that we're live right now? Comment hello if we are getting to you, because it's almost too good to be true at this point.
Can you hear us? Can you
can
see
you hear us? Hello.
All right, I'm so thrown off. I don't even know what I'm doing. Where what is up, what is down, what is left, what is right? Did you know that I actually really don't know my left and my right?
Why?
I've never known it. One thing I do know, though, is I love Four Peaks, and I'm super excited for USA, USA, USA. They're taking on the Netherlands on Saturday. And
wait, can you hit me with that again?
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
It's the first time they made it to the round of 16 in a while. So if you are coming to our watch party at Four Peaks, we're super stoked to see you there. It's already sold out, unfortunately. So if you didn't reserve a spot, it's a little too late. All 90 of you jumped on that train really quick. But the 90 of you that are going to be there are going to get to enjoy some Kilt Lifter, some Wild Wheat Pints, all the good stuff. We love our friends at Four Peaks, some chicken tendies, most importantly. Super excited for that, Kirsten. I just love Four Peaks beer in general. I think I need one. I need like 8 Four Peaks right now.
I'm about to bust open this holiday cheer box that's sitting on our table right in front of us.
Yeah, well, they have
a... Because we do have to open up the second day.
Can we? It looks like you can actually punch through it.
Yeah, let me confirm okay, with no, Matt.
Wait, what do you call these? It's like an advent calendar.
Yeah,
it's like
a beer advent calendar.
That is the cutest thing.
Super cool.
A beer advent calendar? I have never seen that before.
Yes, I haven't either, but it's kind of cool. And if you want to give the gift of holiday beer cheer this season, you can stop by Four Peaks. They have a limited supply of these, so make sure you hop on it quick. They're only $55. You can enjoy specialty beers, tall boys, and more. I don't think you're going to have to lift that up, fam. You can purchase these at the 8th Street Pub in Tempe. Definitely recommend. Max, can we open the second one?
Yeah. We opened one yesterday.
Open the two, right here. We're off the rails already.
This is why you have to watch on YouTube. Ooh, we got a Kilt Lifter.
It's Kirsten's favorite Kilt Lifter. Wow, that was like it's meant to be. Kirsten loves Kilt Lifter.
Yesterday, we got a tall boy of Imperial Hazy IPA.
Wow, we love it.
In the fridge right now.
Yeah, Hazy IPA is my favorite. Love that for us.
The unfortunate part is it's not cold, so I can't drink this right now.
Oh, that is true. But if you want a beer advent calendar, which who doesn't want that, go to the Four Peaks Brewery in Tempe and pick one up. Okay, Kirsten. Let's get the show back on the rails a little bit, shall we?
What just happened? That was a heavy box. Jacob's asking if I want a bottle of Alberta. No, it's warm. Thank you, though. I really appreciate that. We'll take a cold one. Thank you. Mac, do you want one?
No, it's too early for me to drink a beer.
It's 1 p.m. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Not here. Not here. All right, cheers. There were many things that happened this week that I don't know about you, but I was a little caught off guard by. I like to run my mouth, but other people also like to run their mouths. And it had me saying, say what?
Say what now?
There were so many things this week that had me saying, say what? We have to go through them because I have a feeling we're going to be feeling some type of way about a lot of things that went down. And I think we should start with the Phoenix Suns because holy shizmawuts, Devin Booker is that guy, Tierson. He dropped 51 on the Bulls' heads.
Holy shoit.
Holy shoit. He did it in three quarters too, by the way. Devin Booker was on one this week.
He's been on one, yeah.
Yeah, he's been on one. He just won Western Conference Player of the Month. So shout out Devin Booker. It was, I don't know about you, but I loved watching that game. That game was electric. D-Book was on fire. It was a really, really good game.
Anytime the Suns are just gelling, firing on all cylinders, they're, in my opinion, the most entertaining team in the NBA to watch.
Yeah, I 1,000% agree. It's not even close. They're so much fun to watch. I mentioned Devin Booker's Western Conference Player of the Month for November. He averaged 29 points per game, 5.8 assists per game, 5.3 rebounds per game. He was averaging almost 50% field goal percentage and 37% three-point percentage. That's unreal. Like, that's insane.
Monty Williams hit with the Coach of the Month, too, right?
Yeah, and DA won Player of the Week last week for the Western Conference.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Give us all the accolades here in Phoenix.
Shout out to the Suns. They are really fun to watch when they are firing on all cylinders. And, man, it looks like they have found a groove. Being some of a blowout. Yeah, super excited to watch the Suns play. I think DA and Booker, when they're playing so well and they're both playing well together, like, they have to be the best duo in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly up there. We're obviously biased here. I love watching those two. And I just, anytime I have seen DeAndre Ayton do well this season, and I feel like he's really getting into a groove, it just like a sigh of relief. Like, all the beginning of the season BS is so far behind us. And there's been, you know, like, quite a few things surrounding DeAndre Ayton too, like, throughout his career here. And so I feel like maybe we're turning one giant page with him. And yeah, I love DA. Give me more of DA.
Yeah, DA is great. He even called himself out. He was like, I didn't even like the way that I started this season. Yeah. So he was aware that he did not get off to the best start this season on the court with what he was doing numbers-wise. But boy, has he turned it around in the past week. That Bulls game, DA dropped, I think, over 30 points. And DA and Book became the first Suns teammates to score 50 points and 30 points in the same game, like, in history. So that's pretty sick. It's always great to see them play like that, especially now that DA has kind of figured things out. DA is on his 7th straight double-double with 24 and 14 at least. So that's kind of crazy to think about how quickly he's turned that around. And you just love to see it because, like you said, he kind of had a little bit of a struggle bus at the at the beginning of the year. But
and I hope that we don't, when it comes to Devin Booker, I always feel like, oh, we're talking about another Devin Booker, like, amazing performance. You know, it's just Devin Booker. And I don't want to glance over the greatness that is D-Book because, or be it, have it be, like, so familiar that we don't really fully appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because what he did was efficiency, like, historical efficiency. You know, the other night. And he's playing at a level that it's undeniable. You know, I know we're not going to get too much into this, but his MVP candidacy is undeniable at this point in his career. And he brings such a presence to Phoenix and what the outside perspective is to this Phoenix basketball team. And we shouldn't ever forget or take it for granted.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we have Devin Booker.
No, I agree. And I also agree that it's time to start seriously talking about Devin Booker as the MVP, as a favorite to win the MVP this year, because, wow, he is just unbelievable on that court. Josh saying, can you bring up Josh's comment? DA on a 7th straight double-double, not impressive, because I've done that in In-N-Out before. Yes, we love a good double-double from In-N-Out. Someone else in the comments said, thanks, Patrick, LOL, in reference to Patrick Beverly taking that cheap shot on DA and kind of being the reason that DA woke up and started bawling out, which we will talk about in a second. We have some thoughts on Patrick Beverly, so stick with us. But before we get to that, good old Sir Charles Barkley, terrible. That was terrible.
You have all the impersonations today.
I'm just going for it.
She went from the Dutch to
that is horrible. Why she's the hostess with the mostest, yeah. And I'm just the girl in the chair.
Where are your accents?
Thank you very much. Thank you for recognizing that. Obviously, he has one of the best sports shows on television on TNT, and he was talking about the Western Conference and what it's shaping up to be, and he had some thoughts.
No disrespect to him. You know how much I love Dame, but listen, Phoenix, Denver, the Pelicans, the Grizz, and then you got the figure and the Warriors in there, but I still think you give me the Suns and the Nuggets, I like my chances of getting to the finals.
And as you said last week, Denver will have the best record in the Western Conference.
They will. They will have the best record in the Western Conference.
Got a chance.
They're in second right now, but once Jamal Murray gets back, you know, it takes a while to get into the flow. I like the off-season additions they made. The Denver Nuggets will finish with the best record in the West.
You heard it right here, and so you know what's going to happen. Back with more.
Say what? Charles Barkley, I disagree. I mean, obviously, we haven't seen the Nuggets firing on all cylinders yet, but I just don't think that if DA and Devin Booker can keep this up, that there's any team that is going to finish with a better record than the Suns in the West.
So right now, they're neck and neck. And if you take a look at like offensive statistical categories, the Nuggets outperform the Suns in like literally everything. And I know that like there's way more to the game than just statistics. But when you take a look at overall record, they're neck and neck. And then when you take a look at like stats within the games, team leaders, individual leaders, they have outperformed them. So just taking a look at that, like he is not wrong in thinking that it's going to be a close race. Like it very well could be the Denver Nuggets. Like I don't think anyone's outrageous for thinking that, mm-hmm. but I can't bet against the Phoenix Suns. And seeing how they've played without, you know, you mentioned Chris Paul and the
Cam
way that
Johnson.
They're in Cam Johnson and the way that they're performing now, the way that Devin Booker, if it was even possible for him to elevate his game, the way that DeAndre Ayton has elevated his game and just seem to have good team chemistry at this point with where they're at, I could not bet against the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, I couldn't either. There's just no way. I think if you take in consideration what they did last season, the season before that, where they're at right now in the season, I can't count. Like I know he's not counting out the Suns. I know he said the Nuggets and the Suns, as in like Western Conference finals. Those are the two teams that are going to be going at it. But I just really think that the Suns haven't shown us everything that they have to offer yet, and they haven't hit that ceiling. And there's still so much that they're going to do this season. So I definitely don't want to say, like, if I put my money on it right now, I put my money on the Suns.
I agree, though. I think that those teams, we could very well see those two teams in the Western Conference finals.
Yeah,
I would love to see it. I would love to see it. Do a little hookups with our DMVR folks,
yeah,
and get to talk some smack.
I want to make sure that they have Jamal Murray, though. That way they can't use him as a scapegoat again as the reason that they lose.
I'm saying is the last time a Phoenix team played a team from Colorado, Phoenix team won. Shout out Sunday was last night. I also want to say, I feel like that gets left out of this conversation a lot, is that like the Suns still have to trade Jay Crowder. Like they're going to get another player at some point, presumably. Mm-hmm. So the Suns are going to
they're
going to
be in a much better spot than they are now
later in the season. Yeah, and Cam Johnson opted to go the route of quicker return in terms of his meniscus injury. So he's going to be back, hopefully, as long as everything goes according to plan, quicker than we were expecting as well. So we should get Cam Johnson back into the lineup as well, which I think is also going to be another factor that is going to add to the Suns positively.
Who made the comment about Patrick Beverly? It was a little bit of a foreshadow, though, to just something else that just made us say what? We don't need to spend too much time on it, but it was definitely say what, Patrick Beverly? Just stop.
I hate Patrick Beverly.
Stop it.
Yeah, he had some thoughts on the whole DA situation. It was on his podcast, right? Cheers.
Yeah, you know what? I have. We're going to get into another Patrick podcast in a later on.
What
I,
is it with Patrick and podcasts?
I don't know, but also, what is it with play? I'm not going to say, oh, you shouldn't have a podcast if you're a current player. It brings another dynamic to just like media, I guess. But I just don't know that it's a great idea.
Yeah.
To do while it, like while you're in season two to be doing this podcast, like I don't, and you're commenting on the league that you play in and other players and former teammates and this, like I just, it's as if we don't already have enough like gossip and this and that and like whatever. Now you have to have like players coming out mid-season and like spewing stuff and adding. I don't really like it. Anyway, Patrick Beverley, obviously we all know he was suspended 3 games for pushing DeAndre Ayton in the back when he was not looking. He doubled down on his behavior on his podcast and said, F that, F him. We're not going for that shoit. And then went on to say that it was a very unfortunate situation. And if I could play it back again, I would do the exact same thing. Dude!
Patrick. Obviously, you were in the wrong because you got suspended by the league for your actions.
And nobody was in his corner about it.
And now you're going to turn around and on your podcast, you're going to say you would do the same thing again. Like, this guy sucks. Sucks so hard. I hate Pat Bev. All my homies hate Pat Bev. What are we doing here? Like, why would you double down on something that obviously you were in the wrong for? Nobody had your back about. You got suspended for. Like, what are we doing, Patrick Beverley?
It's just unfortunate because I feel like it's such a bad look and takes away from just the game, like the integrity of the game and what it should be about. And the fact that he seemed like he was maybe a little bit of like apologetic for what he did after, like immediately after the game, just in saying like, yeah, maybe I should have handled it differently. But to then go back on it and say you would do it all over again, like that infuriates me.
Yeah.
Like Pat Bev, whatever. I don't care what you have to say or what, you know, but if you're going to behave in that manner and then go back and say you would do it again, like that gets under my skin a little bit.
Yeah, it bothers me too. Obviously, Pat Bev doesn't care at all when it comes to this type of thing. Like, he is who he is, and he is obviously not going to change, and he's comfortable with being, like, I guess, a dirty player in the NBA. But it's just frustrating because you always hope that, like, at the very least, there's some remorse or some level of guilt on their behalf just, like, when they awareness. Do something like that. Yes, awareness. Like, if you don't have the level of self-awareness to admit that you did something wrong by shoving someone from the back, like, come on. Like, come on. It's just so frustrating. Like, and that's like, it just feels like a hopeless cause. Like, Patrick Beverley is who Patrick Beverley is. He's never going to change. And you're just going to have to expect when you play him, he's going to pull some dirty shit. And that's really frustrating. Like, I just wish that, like, if I don't know, like if like things like this happen, like at least have like be the bigger person and apologize like when you're in the wrong. Like doubling down when you're in the wrong just is so infuriating. So Patrick.
Goodbye with you.
Bye, Patrick Beverley. Talking about Patrick Beverley stresses me out. I need some OGs.
I've been stressed out since the beginning of this whole thing. I would love an OG.
Yeah, we need some OGs on this podcast right now. If you guys haven't heard by now, OGs have the best THC scratch-made gummies in the state of Arizona. I am obsessed with them. Their orange creamsicle flavor is my absolute favorite, but they already released their Dream Edition, Sleep Edition, that helps with sleep in their aquaberry flavor, which is also really good. But whether you're taking in OGs because Patrick Beverley stresses you out, or you're taking in OGs because you need some sleep, it is great experience all around. We can't recommend them enough. And as always, you can find them at your local dispensary, but you must be 21 years or older to enjoy. You know what else stresses me out?
Another guy by the name of Patrick.
Hashtag ban Patrick with a podcast. Also talking about the Arizona Cardinals stresses me out as well. Obviously, we all know that
Arizona
Cardinals lost in a very bizarre fashion to the Los Angeles Chargers with a 2-point conversion with a couple seconds left on the clock on Sunday. And after the game, Kyler Murray was talking to the media as he normally does. And the media was kind of just trying to figure out like what went wrong, because that was it was a good game for the most part. Like the Cardinals were hanging in it. You know, there were some bumps on the road, but they really started to break down towards the end of the game. And while he was addressing the media, he kind of threw his head coach under the bus a little bit. And this is what he had to say.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't for Hop, actually. Schematically, I mean, we were kind of fucked.
Schematically, we were kind of fucked.
So the play he was talking about was a 4th-and-1 situation in their own territory. And he ended up throwing an interception. It was the ball intended for DeAndre Hopkins, which was not the original plan. So he, you know, obviously 4th-and-1, you should not throw a deep ball to DeAndre Hopkins. But this sparked
so much.
When I say a firestorm, that is all anybody has been talking about when it comes to the Cardinals all week long, every day. I'm talking about NFL Network, ESPN, Kay Adams Show, Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports. I mean,
everybody. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of surprised that he said that, because to me, I interpreted it, and I might be wrong, so feel free to tell me that I'm wrong. I interpreted it as he was just throwing Cliff under the bus. Like, he called a play schematically. I did not agree with it. We were kind of fucked. I did what I could with the play that was called. I tried to make something out of it. And that's what happens when we don't have a head coach that knows how to call play calls. Am I wrong? Like, that's what I got out of that.
It was either that, or it was that he was just saying like what they were showing and what they were doing just had us effed. Regardless, and I said this earlier in the week, is you left it up to interpretation, and the precedent has already been set, or like the storyline has already been established that you and your head coach don't get along. Because remember, leading up to this game, there was a report that came out that said they weren't on good terms. And while Kyler was out with that hamstring injury, they really had like a heart to heart and like dished some stuff out. And now they're on better terms. And so, like, you know, and that wasn't the only time this topic has been brought up. Obviously, he was yelling at a coach on the sideline during a game and like that. So this is not a new storyline. No. We already know the storyline is out there. Kyler and Cliff butt heads. And so when you go after a game and say something like that, everybody's going to jump to the conclusion that you're talking about calling your head coach out for, you know, putting you guys or setting you guys up for failure. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good look whatsoever.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating to see that this is the dynamic that has formed between our head coach and our quarterback, who were both extended in the offseason for a lot of money. So you never really want to see that. But so I told you how I interpreted it. How did you interpret it? Did you interpret it the throw it under the bus way?
I think it easily could have also just been him giving like credit to what the defense was doing. Mm. But I don't know. We didn't get clarification on it. But bottom line is, everyone always thinks that I'm like overly judgmental about Kyler. I do have an opinion based, like an educated opinion based on being around that franchise since he was drafted.
Yeah.
But so like, I don't want to be too harsh on him, but I do feel like there's a standard for quarterbacks where you just sort of shoulder blame, unfortunately, when it comes to things that go wrong in a game. And I've never seen Kyler really shoulder, but I mean, in that post-game press conference, he said, okay, the offense fell short and the defense did their job. So like in that sense, as like a unit, but I just feel like, you know, a receiver slows down, there's a miscommunication. It's, hey, he stands up at the podium. Hey, you know, you got to be alert if you're going to be playing with me, and says stuff like that. And like, I just, at what point are you ever just going to just stand up there and say, yep, that's on me. Or, you know, the look that I wanted wasn't there, or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Rather than just always seemingly, because I don't exactly know what he was trying to convey with that comment, but seemingly just always passing the blame along.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you, Kyler, call a timeout in that situation if schematically you were effed? Yeah. How about that? You had a timeout. Mm-hmm. So maybe instead of saying, well, you know, just schematically we were effed and seemingly blame your head coach for the situation, why don't you say, you know what? I didn't, you know, we just weren't in a good position there and I should have called a timeout.
Yep.
How about that? So I think, you know, when people are formulating opinions about Kyler, this is the stuff that they're formulating them based off of.
Yep, totally. Well, I told you how I interpreted it. You just told them how you interpreted it. If you're in the comments watching, let us know how you interpreted that comment. There was a third person who weighed in on this whole debacle. We all might know him. I don't know if you have ever heard of Patrick Peterson, former Arizona Cardinal, now with the Minnesota Vikings, obviously. He has a podcast as well, apparently. All the Patricks that are athletes have podcasts these days. And he had some thoughts on this whole situation. And his response that you're about to hear all stems from this quote from Kyler about saying that schematically we were fucked and everything that kind of followed from that game. So here's what our old friend Patrick Peterson had to say.
Yeah, you think Cliff Kingsbury may be the scapegoat in regards to their struggles?
It ain't no maybe. He will.
He will be.
Yeah, yeah, he will be.
Uh-huh.
He will be. And the crazy thing about it, the guy who hired him will still have a job.
Yep. It sounds about right. Initially, I was thinking that they probably would stick with him because of the contractual agreement he has. But now just seeing how bad they've been. And then
they fired a coach after a season, man.
Yeah. And he signed that extension last March. But see, just verbally now, vocally, Kyler Murray is talking about, and I don't like how he's doing that. I think he should keep some things privately. But it tells me he doesn't care about his head coach. And he's putting everything on the head coach, basically saying
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray. That's just a matter of the fact.
Well, yeah, well, I got it. So, I can't argue that I don't know him personally. You played with him for a few years, so I got to take your word for it.
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray. Say what?
I have two completely different thoughts on all of this.
I agree.
One is again, this is why I don't like athletes that are currently playing, especially when you're in season, having a podcast airing stuff out. Do it 5 years from now. Do it after you've retired and say, yeah, you know that 2022 team, I was hearing this, I was hearing that. Air it out after the fact. And like, you know, Kyler probably, maybe he's no longer with the Cardinals. Doesn't matter. Like, when I just feel like there's a difference between people going on podcasts and it's like, you know, 5-10 years ago and you're telling the behind the scenes story of something or giving your opinion. But when you're currently playing the league, this just makes Patrick Peterson look bitter. And like, you know, obviously we saw his little, I don't want to call it a tirade, but how he went off on Steve Keim after the Cardinals played the Vikings and turned it into a thing and aired out that somebody was putting these emails on his chair while he was with the Cardinals and this and that, and like whatever. And he then looked like he was just like this bitter guy that couldn't move on with his life, even though it's been a couple years since he's even been an Arizona Cardinal. And then now he's taking to his former quarterback, which it's like one thing if you have that opinion of him, but why say it now? There's some things that you either don't say at all, or you say down the road after the fact when it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I had some thoughts about this clip, and you know, someone in the comments saying he addressed what he meant, like he clarified at a press conference the next day. We have that and we'll play it in a second, but we're just talking specifically in relation to this clip before context was added.
It doesn't get any better, by the way, his clarification.
We're talking specifically about this clip and the context behind it. Listen, I think it's rich coming from Patrick Peterson, of all people, saying that there's another person that doesn't care about anyone but themselves, when Patrick Peterson threw one of the biggest hissy fits of all time when he was here in the Valley and wasn't happy about his contract. So I think that's really rich. But also my other thought on this was, like, at this point, like, I think Patrick Peterson is like just giving off such weird energy, like weird hater energy. Like there has been so many things time after time that he has said about his former team that just come across as like a jaded, like ex-girlfriend, bitter, like, dude, you're on another team. You got the money that you wanted. You're playing football. Like, just let it go.
And it could be accurate. It's just like, yeah, this is not the time or place.
It's not the time or place. That's what, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say is like, it is just like the weirdest hater energy of all time coming from Patrick Peterson. It just makes it look like he thinks constantly about the Arizona Cardinals and the Cardinals just live rent free in his head. And he like feels some type of way about it and he won't let it go. And it's just bizarre. Like, move on. Like, there are so many other things you can talk about now. Like, just let it go. It's just, to me, it's very bizarre how much hater energy Patrick Peterson still has for his former team. And I'm kind of just over it at this point. Like, I don't even know what to think. But so obviously he said Kyler Murray doesn't care about anyone but Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray responded on Twitter with a very interesting statement of his own saying, "This isn't true. You on some weird shit, P2. You got my number. If you really felt like this as a big bro in quotes or mentor in quotes, you're supposed to call me and tell me, not drag me on your podcast can grow." That was coming out hot. His teammates backed him up. D-Hop got in on the chat with some tweets saying, "You gained attention but lost respect. You don't need to kick a man when he's already down," which I agree with D-Hop. Like, you don't need to kick a man while he's down. It's just so weird. And I think like Kyler kind of hinted at it. Like, this was something that like should have never come out on a podcast as like an open drag. Like, if you genuinely have that big of a problem with someone, like, call them, text them. But even then, like, I don't think it's coming from a good place in Patrick Peterson's heart. Like, I think Patrick Peterson is just a hater and he has no interest in the well-being
right now,
of that.
He's not a member of the media. He's a football player. He's still in the league. I don't have an issue with him coming out after the fact and having an opinion.
Yeah.
But I think he's confused about, like, I think it's really hard to be both. I think it's really hard to talk about a league that you're currently playing in and give your opinion about teammates, former teammates, people that you're up against without making it seem like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like, it just doesn't, right? It just doesn't fit in my mind at all.
Yeah, it's all bizarre. Obviously, we're not saying it's okay to kick the coach while he's down either. No, I don't think either of us condoned what Kyler did up on the stand by saying that he was schematically fucked.
Yeah, that's a great point.
What?
Kicking the coach while he's down? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. But neither of us condoned that. So
yeah,
we're not saying that what Kyler did was okay either. But obviously, Kyler felt some way about it. He tweeted about it. His teammates defended him. Well, D-Hop defended him, which was good to see. Some people in the media then followed up with Patrick Peterson. And Patrick did say that he actually didn't have his number, but he was able to get it from one of Kyler's former teammates who he knows. And he did text Kyler Murray, but he hadn't heard back yet. And then at a press conference, he was able to kind of clarify what he was talking about.
First of all, I don't have any beef with Kyler Murray. They was like, "Oh, Patrick blatantly disrespected Kyler." I didn't do that. You know, what I meant by my comment was, when you're a franchise quarterback, you have to carry yourself a certain way. So if you're having bad body language, pouting, moping on the sideline, what type of energy do you think that feeds off to your teammates? That's what I meant about Kyler cares. He's caring about himself because he's not putting the team first. You know, when you make a bad throw, you're coming off to the sideline, you're dropping your shoulders. How do you think the defense feel? If our starting quarterback don't have any energy, no fire, that we can win this game, how can we? So that's what I meant about Kyler caring about Kyler. I didn't mean that in no disrespect, any fashion or form. And I might not be his mentor, but these are the things, tips that I think that it can help him be, you know, a better football player in the long run. You know, so it is what it is at the end of the day.
He mentioned that you have his number.
I don't have his number. I did reach out. I did get his number from an ex-teammate. I texted him.
Okay.
He didn't reply to the text. I don't know if that's his number or whatever the case may be. But, you know, but I do look forward to talking to him, you know, because I see a ton of talent in him. And that.
Oh, my God.
Dude, he's not wrong.
Okay, well, that was going to be my next question is,
he's not wrong.
Now that we have the context of everything, according to Patrick Peterson, who was backtracking like as fastest Patrick Peterson has ever backtracked in his life. Do you think that he's wrong or was he right?
Right in what he was saying, wrong in his approach. You don't air it out in that way. You just don't. You should probably keep that to yourself for a little while, at least.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some validity to what he's trying to say. Like, you know, body language matters. Those types of things when you're the starting quarterback for an NFL team, like, are all very important to morale, to the overall team healthiness. Like, it's all things that matter.
Can I say one thing, too, that I just thought of? Do you remember, I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was the Monday Night Football countdown crew that Larry Fitzgerald was on in Mexico City. Do you guys remember how he was like gloating about Colt McCoy in a way that everyone was like, Larry knows what he's doing right now. Like, you don't praise Colt in the way that you're praising him and not say anything about Kyler without it being something. So whether it was that conversation that stemmed from last year when he was pouting on the sidelines and their atrocious loss to LA, or like Larry doing stuff like that, or like whatever, please, dear God, nobody say that we're just making stuff up. We're not making stuff
up. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely not just like making problems up out of thin air. Like, there are validities and there are valid concerns as to what is happening with Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals right now. So whether you agree with them as being an issue or not is a different debate. Right. But there is something going on. Like, when there's smoke, there's fire. And there is a lot of smoke coming out of the Arizona Cardinals State Farm Stadium right now. So it's not actually on fire. But the smoke alarms are going off, baby. And I think, like, being concerned is, like, valid. Like, we're invested in this team as fans, as media, as taxpayers. Like, it's all fine to have different opinions on this situation. Like, there are people out there that are going to defend Kyler Murray to their blue in the face, and no matter what that man does, they will have his back 100% of the time. That's fine if that's how you feel. There are other people out there who are concerned about where things are going, about how this team is spending money on head coaches and GMs and starting quarterbacks, which is also fine. And there are people out there who are not in on Kyler Murray, who think it is a huge mistake. And that's also fine. Like, we are all over the place on this. And there's going to be different opinions, but, you know, it's not like we're just making it up. No. We're not. Like,
there's way too many people on social media saying that media has just made it up and that we've like ruined it. Again, it's the big, you know, everybody's kind of looped into it, but local media, national media, it's the same narrative wherever you look. And if it's the same narrative wherever you look, there is definitely smoke. That is the worst take that I see way too often, is that like, we ruined his career and his reputation. It's like, dude, no.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, we can't just like, there would be no questions about him as a leader or his character or this or that if like there weren't things happening that called it into question. Like, we're not going to just like sit here and make stuff up for the fun of it. Like, there are serious things happening right now. So, yeah, I definitely agree. You know, I get that what Patrick Peterson is saying, like, these are the things that he's observing from a 50,000 foot view. I think it's definitely wrong delivery. Like, you shouldn't be dragging someone on your podcast to get your podcast more listeners or whatever the reason was for making that decision. I think it's tacky. I think it's not called for. And I think it just makes you look like a hater. So I don't agree with what he did or what he said. And I also think his backtrack was him trying to cover his tracks, because I don't think that comment came from the good place that he was trying to make it seem like when he first made it. So I do think he tried to backtrack a crap ton in that press conference.
The way that I took it was just that, like, he was more so stating facts based on what he's seen rather than trying to take a dig at Kyler. That's the way that I interpreted it, which again is
why he's not in the locker room right now, which is why I still feel like it's such hater energy. Because
you don't
he
think
had,
people talk though?
Of course people talk. Oh my gosh. But like, I think it's weird because it's not coming from someone on the team. Like, if his teammates were saying this would be a whole different conversation.
They would never. Yeah.
But he's not in the locker room, so he doesn't really know. So I think him coming at it this hard is just weird to me. That's just my opinion. I think it's weird. Like, it's bizarre.
I heard Monty as a Dr.
Kyler since last summer. Our viewers are hilarious. The comments that you guys come up with are so funny.
Speaking of hilarious.
Shout out Sean Marks for our super chat. If you guys didn't know, Kirsten shut down our entire operation before the show started trying to plug in her phone charger, which is why we were kind
of
late.
An eighth of a sliver of a sliver.
So, Sean Marks, thank you for contributing to Cheerson's new phone charger fund. You guys are the best. We appreciate the comments a lot.
You know what is the good thing this week?
What?
Cardinals are on a bye.
Oh my God, I feel like I can breathe.
We don't have to worry about watching them, and we don't have to worry about trying to include them in any of our underdog
fantasy games.
What would you call the underdog? What?
The pick'ems?
Pick'ems. Yeah.
I was like,
oh my God. Sometimes I do that, especially if I'm stressed out before I start a show. You will know that, like, there'll be at least 10 times where I totally forget what I'm gonna say.
Yes, thank the Lord we don't have to suffer through another Cardinals game this week. But there are other ways to enjoy football, including if you want to play a pick'em game on the Underdog Fantasy app, which we definitely recommend. So Sean, hit us with what you got.
Yeah, I mean, look no further than the Suns game tonight. Like you talked about already, Devin Booker is on a roll. You can get Devin Booker higher than 42.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He hit that alone with points the other night.
I like that.
Combine that with another guy who's been on the roll, DeAndre Ayton, higher than 33.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I'm in on these two guys to keep having big games until they do otherwise, essentially. So combine that with anything else, you probably can find some good stuff from football. Honestly,
I was gonna say, just forget the NFL as a whole.
I'm just saying. Honestly, give me Mike White, Miguel Blanco, as Bo called him the other day. Higher 248.5 passing yards for the New York Jets. But they obviously don't have anything for the Cards because they don't play this week. Ooh, hold on, I got something for you if they have it. Where is it? Derrick Henry higher than 101.5 rushing and receiving yards against the Philadelphia Eagles and their bad rush defense. So combine that, combine Mike White, combine some Sun stuff. You can make yourself a little bit of money.
I feel like you were singing a Drake song there for a second.
It's super easy to get started, though. You just have to go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app, sign up with promo code PHNX, and Underdog will match your first deposit up to $100. Download Underdog.
You sounded like a baby wolf trying to discover her howl.
Yeah.
I didn't want to full send and like break people's eardrums on howling. But yeah, so basically Patrick Peterson is a weirdo. Patrick Beverly is a weirdo. #ban Patrick's with podcasts. We're over that energy. Take it somewhere else, you
time
weird haters. Patrick Peterson especially needs to move on. Like, find another hobby besides trashing on your old team, you freaking weirdo.
All right. Now we're gonna move on. to the Coyotes.
Oh my God. All right. Well, if you guys didn't know by now, Cheerston is the reporter with the mostest because Homegirl has been to every freaking Tempe City Council meeting about this Coyotes arena since the beginning of time. I don't know how she has the patience for it because I would rather poke my eye out with a hot fork than go to a city council meeting. But she was there with bells and whistles on.
I actually have fully embraced it and look forward to these city council meetings now.
You are weird. You are strange. Okay.
It is so interesting to see how they unfold.
Yeah. Uncle Gary was in town for this one. Gary Bettman was here. And Cheerson, do you want to take us through everything that happened at this city council meeting and what Uncle Gary had to say?
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest thing to come out of it is there was a unanimous vote by Tempe City Council to approve the proposal for the new arena and entertainment district, which means the city will, or the public, city residents will now have the final say on whether this gets a full stamp of approval. So in May, the Tempe residents will vote, which means nothing is going to happen between now and May whatsoever, except for the Coyotes trying to, you know, market themselves to residents, try and collect signatures, things like that. But there's nothing that can be moved forward in terms of, you know, putting a shovel in the ground or anything like that, at least until May. So we kind of already knew that, though, a few weeks ago when they decided to move it to referendum. So that was the big thing. But Gary Bettman flew in for just to be there for that meeting and gave his full support. I know a lot of people are bitter that Gary Bettman still supports the Coyotes, but you know what? They're an NHL team and he's obviously going to be in support of them. And, you know, he backed the current ownership as well and gave the current ownership his full support. And it was a pretty big deal, in my opinion, the way that this is, so I'm talking from opinion, the way that the meeting unfolded, it seemed like they're going to have no problem, from what I picked up, that they're going to have no problem getting this passed. It even seemed like the airport, Sky Harbor Airport, seemed to kind of shift their narrative to being a little bit more in support. Like, it seemed like they had made some leeway behind the scenes during negotiations of getting to some more common ground. And so,
you mean no airplanes are going to drop out of the sky and fall on the arena anymore?
I certainly hope not.
Wow.
It also had something to do with the residences that were being built. There's noise ordinances that have to be upheld, and whether or not that was going to be able to, they were going to be able to work that out, or if they were going to have changed flight paths and all this stuff. So it was very, very complicated. But so that seemed like they're in a much better position than they were over the summer. Oh my gosh, the airport came out and was just, they were not having it. So between that and just everybody that I heard, there were so many people within the city, former mayor, just people of higher positions that had to do with the city came and spoke in support of this project. And I was expecting there to be a little bit more backlash than there was, even from Tempe residents, because it was an open forum this time around. And there wasn't really, of course, you had a few people that were saying, like, I love the idea of it, but the Coyotes have a track record. But they were also going like far back to where we're talking about different ownerships and things like that, where it didn't even really fit. So obviously city council, unanimous decision, decided, no, we're going to approve this. So you've got city council's support. And I just can't imagine residents not approving it. I just can't imagine. So I walked away from that meeting feeling really, really good about where the Coyotes are in terms of getting this approved. And then I also asked Gary Bettman, very public, their issues out in Glendale. Do you think they're in a better spot now that they're out of there? And this is what he had to say.
Coyotes had their fair share of issues when they were in Glendale. Do you think they're in a better spot now that they're out of there?
I think they're where they need to be. And by the way, I'm grateful to ASU for sharing Mullett Arena. Obviously, it's got to be temporary because of the size. But all reports we're getting is it's been a fun experience. And on a temporary basis, it works. And again, we're grateful to ASU.
I think they're where they need to be. I love that answer. Uncle Gary is the best. The only reason that there's hockey in the desert is because of that man that you all just saw on the screen. Big proponent of keeping Phoenix as an NHL market. But that's just like super encouraging. I love to hear that even the airport has kind of switched directions. Now it seems like the only really concern left is the traffic that's going to cause, which the Coyotes said can be mitigated.
It was the Tempe Department of Transportation. They actually did like a full-blown like analytical study and decided that there were potentially two areas that could cause problems as is, but that it could be mitigated, and then the rest of it was going to be like traffic wise is going to be okay. So they,
that's great.
And they presented like a full case and numbers and all that stuff. So yeah,
love to hear it. It just is really encouraging. I feel for Coyotes fans more than any other fan base in this valley, because they have been through the ringer, and it's just, I finally feel, and I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I feel like this is like a turning point for the Coyotes. Obviously, I know they've taken a lot of flack for the Mullett Arena situation and sharing it with a D1 college program, and I don't ever see that ending as long as they're in that arena, because other hockey fans just love to hate on the Coyotes and they'll take any reason that they can get to do it. But I think this is like what Gary said, they are where they need to be. Like, sharing Mullett Arena is where they need to be right now, because they needed to get out of Glendale. And if playing hockey in a college arena is the step that it has to take to ensure that they are out of Glendale forever and they get an arena in a location that's more central in the valley, fine by me. Like, I will sit my butt in those seats in Mold Arena and watch Coyotes play hockey there for however many years it takes for them to get their arena in Tempe, because they had to leave Glendale. Glendale was not viable any longer.
Well, they literally did. Well, they literally got kicked out.
So they really didn't have any option. But to me, this is just super encouraging. And I'm really, really glad that the city of Tempe is on board with this and they are being so supportive of it, because good Lord, the Coyotes need a win. Like, the organization just needs a win. So to know that so far, it seems like it's on the right track, that the city embraces them, that the organizations there do, the students are already really excited about it. I'm just happy for the Coyotes, because I feel like we're finally on the right track and we're heading in the right direction for a longer viable NHL team in the desert. So
I agree.
Happy. You know what I don't agree with?
What?
Eating organs of animals.
Kind of burying the lead there a little bit.
Yeah, kind of burying the lead
there.
Say what? I don't want to eat an animal organ. Our good friend, Craig Morgan, I don't know if you've heard of him, nominated for the Arizona Sports Writer of the Year from a very esteemed organization, also happens to be an employee at PHNX. He did an interview with Jacob Chychrun, obviously, because Chick is back after being injured for a while, and he is skating again with his teammates. And he wrote out this interview on gophnx.com, which you can read for free. It is unlocked, because all of our content right now is now unlocked. And so you don't have to be a member to read articles anymore. So if you haven't gone to check it out, go read this article, because it is very interesting. And Kirsten, one of the things that Jacob said had me a little queasy.
Yes. So he talked about his diet and he said, well, it's a lot of protein. I'm not really eating carbs, which, okay, that's kind of normal. He says on, game days, eat some sweet potatoes. Okay, we're still normal here. Rice, fruit. Okay, still normal. Okay, this is where it gets abnormal. He eats raw liver and raw beef heart. The taste is awful, quote, but your body almost craves it when you eat it consistently because it's so nutrient dense. Have you guys ever tasted that stuff?
No. Why would I want to eat a liver or a beef heart?
I'm getting teary-eyed. I'm choking up at the thought. It is single-handedly.
Why have you eaten it?
Because it's really healthy, and I went through this really healthy period of time where I was like eating everything was raw and this and that and like whatever. And I was like, I just kept reading about how healthy like beef liver and, you know, beef heart, like stuff like that is. I mean, it's a thing. So I tried it. First off, this smell, guys.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you? You couldn't pay me enough money to eat raw liver.
It is the most think of eating the most disgusting thing you could possibly eat and then magnify that by 100. I gagged for so long after the fact.
Dude, ew, stop. I can't even think about it. I'm sorry. There's no way.
I cannot tell you how disgusting. Disgusting it is.
No, there's no way. I don't care how much money you offer me, a house, a car, a boat. There's no shot that I'm eating raw liver and raw heart. I'm sorry,
guys,
but that
it's
is disgusting.
So gross.
That is horrifying. There's no shot.
I guess we know Cheers' answer. What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten, Mac?
Because
I really haven't gotten that. Like, I've eaten an ant.
I'm sorry, what?
Someone dared me to eat.
You just
an
eat
ant
ants when you were a kid?
Yeah, someone dared me to eat.
When I was a kid, it was last week.
Yeah. I mean, when you're a pro college student, you got to get, no.
I've had frog legs and snails.
Okay.
When you go on a cruise, like they do like appetizer courses and they have like very bizarre appetizers. So my brother and I would like try all the weird ones. So we did like frog legs, snails. I think there's like an alligator somewhere, like a deep fried alligator or something like that.
Yeah, I've had alligator. I've had like a bison burger before, I think.
That's not weird.
But otherwise, yeah, but that's my point.
Eat that.
Otherwise, I've never had anything weird other than the singular ant that I ate because of a dare. Yeah, but otherwise, I keep it pretty normal.
Yeah, snails are. I love escargot. Snails are really good. Jan Paul Edward Dadio said he's eating pork tongue. Blah, blah. Nope.
No.
Rocky Mountain oysters are very popular where I'm from, and those are bull testicles, and people will eat those. Not kidding. Very popular.
No.
If you're in the chat, let us know what the weirdest thing you've eaten is. We would love to read your answers out and see raw meatballs. Kirsten has eaten raw meatballs. Actually, they were expired raw meatballs.
They weren't expired.
Oh, I thought they were expired, and that's why you're eating them. They were. Oh no, they're just not cooked. They were not.
Yeah,
cooked.
They were just frozen meatballs that I put in the microwave because I thought they were pre-cooked, and they were not.
Brian's saying he just ate lunch. So sorry, Brian. So sorry. If you have a problem, go yell at Jacob Chikrin because homeboy is eating raw liver and raw beef heart for whatever reason. Lindsay, hi Lindsay. I give them to my dogs as treats sometimes and they smell so bad. Yeah.
What, the liver?
Yeah, the liver and the liver and the heart. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine how it tastes. I'm telling you.
I don't know why. Like, I'm sorry. I know Jacob Chikrin is a professional athlete and he takes it very seriously and he wants to take care of his body, but there are so many things that you can do before you get to
raw egg into my mouth than even go near.
Totri does that. Totri eats like six raw eggs on a.
Well, I don't know if he's eating. Is he eating raw eggs? I don't. Yeah, he's here. I don't know. He eats
Totri,
eggs.
You eat raw eggs?
Yeah, Max is just totally out the side
creating
of
rumors.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Totri is a gym bro. He needs the protein.
Yeah, he's not a crazy person though.
Daniel's saying snails aren't that bad. Actually, they're really not. If you put some butter in there, ooh, Lindsay's eating crickets. I don't know how I feel about that.
Crickets are relatively common.
There was a whole segment on Hard Knocks about those crickets.
What do you eat? Iguana soup?
No,
you
don't
like
eat iguanas.
I mean, you were in the military. Yeah, I bet you did, Sean. I can only imagine the things you ate when you were in the military. Oh, gross.
Tripe is nasty.
I've had weird things that aren't necessarily gross, but like, I remember one time me and my family tried something because we saw it on TV or something. It was like a hot dog, but it had like cheese and jelly on the roll. And it was like
I could get down with that.
But it's not like those things aren't weird. It's just a weird combination. So that's more of the weird stuff that I've had.
Interesting. All right. Well, I have lost my appetite for lunch and I probably won't be eating for the rest of the day. Yeah, people are really eating weird things. Blood sausage, flavored crickets. I have a very sensitive tummy and I'm not putting that anywhere near my body. Live scorpion. What? That's weird. That's bizarre.
Nobody ate a live scorpion.
Sean said he did.
No.
Like he said, he was in the military.
A live scorpion?
Yeah, just cut off the end of the tail. No. Yep. They probably did that as like some bonding thing.
It's going to be moving as it goes down your throat.
Okay. We can't do this. No. Okay, moving on. If you want to try a combination of weird things, you can build a weird parlay on DraftKings Sports. They'll give you one.
Fucking turn me up, Matt. That was electric.
If you want to build a weird parlay on DraftKings Sportsbook, you can do it, baby, because the DraftKings Sportsbook app is the place to go.
It'll be much better to stomach that.
It's easier to stomach the weird parlays on DraftKings Sportsbook, especially when you're making money.
Hell yeah.
The NBA season is here, so there's never been a better time to bet on basketball, especially when it comes to the Phoenix Suns, because I'm pretty confident in betting on the Phoenix Suns. I'm a very sensitive bettor. I won't bet on teams that I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, I refuse to bet on the Diamondbacks. I refuse to bet on the Sun Devils, but I will bet on the Suns because I'm pretty confident in what is going to happen in those games. If you can take a over or under on Devin Booker total points, always smash the over. I'm just kidding. But if you want to get in on the action, you can download the app now. Sign up with promo code PHNX. Place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win their game, and you'll get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code PHNX, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Your boy made some money last night at the DraftKings
Sportsbook. Oh,
yeah?
I parlayed the Arizona State moneyline when they were down at halftime with the Buffalo Bills moneyline. $10 nice. Down, got paid out 66.
Yay! Yeah, there you go, Shawnee. Cash.
There you go.
He used it to buy me Starbucks this morning, which I'm very grateful for.
Matt gave me a ride because someone stole my catalytic converter.
I drove our producer to the studio. All right, let's finish out this podcast with our new head coach in the Valley.
Could Arizona State be relevant again in the next few years?
Arizona State is going to be relevant? We're super excited.
We're always relevant.
We're not
ASU alum. It just is what it is.
Stop.
Arizona State is a roller coaster of emotions. I don't know about you guys, but I'm so freaking stoked for this new head coach because he's freaking stoked. Kenny Dillingham, the former offensive coordinator for the Oregon Ducks, is the new head coach for the Arizona State Sun Devils. Dilly Dilly, baby. Dilly Dilly is here in the Valley. He is an Arizona State University kid through and through. He was born and raised here in the Valley. He has had a lot of history here. He was an eighth generation Arizonan. Holy cow. He went to Chaparral High School. He graduated from ASU.
That doesn't exist.
What, an eighth generation Arizonan? Yeah, that's wild. That, like, that's like back to like the 1800s.
Yeah, I was
like,
going to say, before Arizona was Arizona. Like, yeah. Before it existed.
Kenny Dillingham family was here. He went to Chaparral High School. He graduated from ASU in 2012. His wife, Bree, was a dance team member at ASU. He has a family full of ASU grads. He was a graduate assistant coach from 2014 to 15 under Todd Graham. So this guy is like Arizona State through and through. Like, if there is a Sun Devil, if you look up the definition of Sun Devil, like, Kenny Dillingham's picture will pop up right next to it. So obviously, knowing all of this, it makes a little bit more sense as to why he was so emotional at his introductory press conference. And I love watching this video because it still gets me choked up. It still gets me fired up. And we're really excited that he's here. And he's really excited too, because check out what he had to say at his introductory press conference.
I'm home. But first thing I want to say is I want to thank Dr. Crow, Ray Anderson, Gene Boyd, Marcus Williams. I mean, this is literally home. Home.
No emotion in football.
His wife's been at it all morning, so he had to catch up.
So I say that because this place is special. The state is special. The people in this room are special. I got guys in my wedding right there. Sorry. Pretty emotional, right? It's just who I am. The one thing you're going to get from me, okay?
Who needed somebody who just loves ASU and loves the Valley and is committed to ASU for reasons beyond just themselves. Like, it's not just a good opportunity for a guy that is extremely young to have a head coaching role at a Power Five conference.
Very young.
But it's a guy who is probably in a dream role. Like, pinch me, like, the emotions. I'm with him. I mostly get emotional about things that are just like, I cannot believe, like, this is so amazing. I am so fortunate for this. And it gets me choked up. So, like, I understand how choked up he could be, where it's just like, I can't even believe that, like, this is my reality right now.
Yeah.
So he loves Arizona State, and from a genuine and pure place in his heart. And I think they needed, because again, we don't know what sanctions are going to be handed down or what is going to happen with this program. If the investigation ever ends. And so you needed to get somebody in here who was not looking at it for anything else than just like, man, I love this program.
Yeah. Kenny Dillingham is exactly what this program needed. Obviously, Arizona State's taking a little bit of a flyer out on hiring a 32-year-old head coach. He is extremely young to be in that position. Obviously, you can kind of, thankfully, he does have a track record coming in. You can look at Oregon's offense and attribute a lot of its success to Kenny. So his track record is positive, which is always great. One of the things that he emphasized in his press conference, though, was the importance of recruiting in state, which is something that has been overlooked by Arizona State for so long. And it's so disappointing because you have kids like Spencer Rattler, like the wide receiver at Texas, like so many great, I think Jake Smith, so many great talents coming out of this state that are going to different universities, like, not in state. And it's really freaking frustrating that we can't capitalize on this in-state talent. And so Kenny wanted to make sure that everybody knew, look, list, like, we got to get after these kids that are here in Arizona, which I love to see. Obviously, they've already had their first commitment under the Dillingham era. It's a 3-star offensive lineman, Siri Candielli. So that's super exciting. He's already sticking true to his word. He's already got a commit that is from Arizona here. to the program.
I want to see a five-star next time.
five-star next time. Another thing that he said that was really encouraging too was like he wants to make this program Arizona-centric. He's already made three coaching staff decisions, and all three of them have ties to Arizona State, Arizona in some way. And then also my favorite thing that came out of this press conference was we found out the future of Sean Aguano, which was in limbo for a little bit. We didn't know. Obviously, when you bring in a new head coach, they have the freedom to change the coaching staff as they see fit. So he clarified for us what's going to be happening with Sean Aguano.
Could you ask me if we're retaining Sean Aguano?
Are you retaining Sean
yes,
Aguano?
Yes, we are retaining Sean Aguano. So that's step one. Sean's done an absolutely remarkable job here. As a person, everybody in this valley respects him. Anybody who's ever met him respects him. And I couldn't be happier. You know, one of the first people I saw when I got here was Coach Aguano. And it just, he brings a joy to you when you walk, when you see him in the room. And there's not many people who can do that.
Friggin' love it. Cam Cox couldn't even finish his question before he cut him off. He was like, yes, we are. Which is always great to see because, you know, Sean Aguano is a great guy. He obviously has a respect in that locker room of his players. He preaches Ohana and he lives Ohana. And he obviously is very Arizona centric as well. So I think there's a great chemistry there.
To quote Mr. Gary Bettman, they're where they need to be.
Oh, wow. Mic drop it, Cheerson. We're going home. No, just kidding. Yeah, so really fired up for Arizona State. I'm happy that they got their guy, and it seems to be a really good decision despite his age, and it's going to be cool to see what he can do with the program. Right, Cheers?
Yeah, they're where they need to be.
You know what else is really cool is golfing, and what's even better than golfing is looking good while you're golfing. Tell us about Bad Birdie. Cheers.
Bad Birdie, first off, has exploded. I cannot go anywhere nowadays without seeing somebody in Bad Birdie gear. Obviously, when I'm out on the golf course, the driving range, somebody somewhere has got a golf bag or a polo or a pullover. But it is exploding, especially here in Arizona. You love to see it. They've got brand new styles up on their website. We've all been rocking them the last few weeks, few months around just our studio. So it doesn't have to be just golf gear. Yeah, it's just really comfortable clothing that is good for the office. It's good for church. It's good for anywhere you got to just kind of look presentable. And then, of course, the golf course. So you can head over to badbirdiegolf.com and use our promo code BADBIRDIE. PHNX Bad Birdie for 15% off.
Yep. PHNX Bad Birdie will get you that 15% off. We love some good golf clothes. We love clothes in general.
And that bucket hat. Ooh.
Yeah. So cute. All right. Well, that's the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Well, we made it.
We're here. Well, against all odds, we didn't know if we were going to make it at the beginning here. Our 30-minute technical difficulties delay. We finally got off the ground. Any exciting plans for the weekend, Cheers?
I may be going up to Prescott to celebrate a friend's birthday.
Oh, I might be joining you. We are really excited for the weekend. We hope you guys all have a great weekend as well. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You guys are the absolute best. Don't forget, you can still sign up to become a diehard over at gophnx.com. Being a diehard has so many great benefits. Even though all of our content is now unlocked and free to read, you will get access to diehard only content as well as diehard only merch, diehard only discounts. You get a 20% discount at the PHNX locker at all times. Doesn't matter when or where. If you want to buy your merch at 1 a.m., you'll still get that discount. So there's a ton of other great benefits. You can be in our diehard only Discord where you can chat with us whenever you want to. There's just so many great things about being a diehard. So head on over to gophnx.com and sign up to be a diehard now. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Thank you again for watching our show. Don't forget to hit the like button on this video. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It really does help us out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are the best. Normally we're live at 12:30. We can't make any promises.
I'm gonna go
next
charge
week.
My phone now.
Cheers is going to go charge her phone. Hopefully we'll be live at 12:30 next week. We'll see you then.